morning, everyone. It is 10:01 a.m. on July 9th, a Monday this time. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krashus and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum, and I call this meeting to order. I do not have any opening comments. Commissioner Krashus, do you?
I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
My only opening comments are to say that this has to be one of the most interesting agendas that we've had since I've been on the commission, both in consent and regular. It just really runs the gamut of everything we do. So it's going to be a good meeting.
Okay. We'll move into our consent agenda. There are five items on the consent agenda, plus previous minutes, plus I would point out a rare correction to our meeting from the June 13th meeting, and I would move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC1, I move the commission approve renewal number 7 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-8106, held by BNI Coal Limited for the Center Mine, to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until July 18, 2023.
Second.
On March 13th of this year, BNI Coal filed an application to continue their mining operations within this existing permit area through July 18th of 2023, the five-year period. Permit number BNCR-8106 covers portions of 6 sections in Oliver County, totaling just under 1,170 acres. BNI applied for this permit renewal because the mine office and shop complex, the haul road, the topsoil and subsoil stockpiles, and the sedimentation ponds in the permit area are used to support mining operations in other center mine permits. Coal removal from this permit area was completed, though, several years ago. At the time BNI filed this application, they also filed the application for revision number 57 to this permit to update plans for the next five-year permit term. The revision adds 2.38 acres, which had been previously permitted and had received final bond release, but it became apparent that it would need to be re-permitted to allow for the eventual removal of an overpass that carries county road traffic over a coal haul road. This insignificant revision application was approved by staff. BNI submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. We received no objections to this renewal application. Evidence of the adequate performance bond and liability insurance are on file. The permit and 3 other permits at the center mine are covered by surety and collateral bonds that total $34,139,000. And so the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this application and recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Commissioner Krashus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding that the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate the caption cases for hearing and issue a notice of consolidated hearing in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 1,550 megawatt wind generation application in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 302.4 megawatt Dakota wind application.
Second.
This began on March 29th, 2017, and just some quick background on it. On that date, NSP, on the 1550 megawatt wind energy portfolio, put forth 7 projects for consideration. One was the 150 megawatt Foxtail wind project near Dickey County, North Dakota, 600 megawatt Crowned Ridge wind project in Codington County, South Dakota, 100-megawatt Lake Benton wind project at Pipestem, Minnesota, 100-megawatt clean energy number one wind project in Mercer and Morton counties of North Dakota, 200-megawatt Blazing Star 1 wind project in Lincoln County, Minnesota, and then another 200-megawatt Blazing Star 2 wind project in Lincoln County, Minnesota, and then finally 200-megawatt Freeborn wind project in Freeborn County, Minnesota, and Worthington and Mitchell counties. Or no, I take that back. Freeborn County, Minnesota, and Worth and Mitchell counties in Iowa. So then on October 10th, 2017, in a different case, number PU-17-372, NSP filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence for the 302.4-megawatt Dakota Range 1 and 2 wind projects near Watertown, South Dakota. And as stated in the motion, the reason for consolidating these, both cases involve similar questions of law and fact. So it just makes sense, in my opinion, to group them together and move forward in a consolidated fashion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next for me, I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement and Public Service Commission, Cass County Soil Conservation District, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-161.
Second.
Okay, a complaint was filed against Cass County Soil Conservation District for violating North Dakota Century Code, and that was filed by CHS, who has an 8-inch refined fuel products line in that vicinity. That line runs from Minot to Fargo, and I believe it's carrying diesel coming from the Laurel, Montana refinery, and related to the Senex pipeline case that we had worked on previous. Cass County Soil Conservation District was doing some tree plantings. They did not get a locate request. They did not call ahead of time. And as a reminder to anyone listening, gardening or landscaping that has more than a 12 inches or more in terms of disturbance, you have to call in for a locate ticket on that. The exceptions would be grave digging in a cemetery. There's an exception to that. Also, agricultural tillage, which can go to a depth of 18 inches before being considered subject to the one-call law. So there are several exemptions to that. And then also as a reminder, the hand dig zone, and just in terms of studying up on some things last night, it's 2 feet on either side of the center line, but actually it's 2 feet from the edge of the facility. So in this case, if it's an 8-inch pipeline and you've got 4 inches on either side of the center line, it would actually be 28 inches in terms of from the center line that you would have to hand dig, or 56 inches total times two. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I don't know if I've always been as clear on that. As a result of this, there is a consent agreement. Cass County Soil Conservation District agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission with 10 days of service of this order adopting consent agreement. And once again, it probably seemed innocuous enough, but the irony, of course, is that this was a soil conservation district that had violated the one-call law, but no one is immune to that, and we want to make sure that we don't have facilities being hit out there because locates are not being done.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next on my list, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company earnings share 2017 rates, case number PU-18-200.
Second.
On March 9th, 2016, the Commission adopted the order approving settlement in case number PU-12-813. That order requires that Northern States Power Company refund to its customers 100% of annual 2017 weather-normalized electric utility earnings in excess of a 10.25% return on equity. On June 7th, 2018, NSP filed a petition for approval to issue a one-time bill credit for excess 2017 earnings of $2,983,461. The issue to be determined is whether the proposed refund is just and reasonable. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by August 20th, 2018, and persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine these matters without a hearing. For more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission at the State Capitol here in Bismarck at 701-328-2400. And just a couple of notes, NSP has 94,000 North Dakota customers serving areas of Fargo, Grand Forks, and Minot. They also have 250 miles of transmission lines and 14 substations located in North Dakota. And again, this relates back to the rate case number 12-813, so going back to 2012. The actual return on equity, I had given the shy of $3 million, I'd given that exact figure, is 10.91%. Was the return on equity in 2017 or 66 basis points over the authorized return of 10.25%. Some quick math on this, it would equate to approximately $13.70 for the average residential customer. But that number will have to be firmed up, but as an approximate, Jerry's nodding, that's right, so my math is good. Okay. So I'm going to go with 1370 then as more than approximate. But that's a number that customers would be looking at, and it would be refunded as a one-time payment on their bill once we conclude the case.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, this is the first time since I've been on the commission that there's been an earnings refund. So I think this is pretty interesting and good for customers, and it's a pretty substantial amount when you break it down to the residential customers. $16 or so. Some of the bigger business customers can get a significant one, but I just think it shows, it sends a message to ratepayers that the rates aren't just always set and then that's the end of it. There's different mechanisms put in place to make sure that if the company is charging too much or if they're earning more than what they're basically allowed by the commission orders, that there's some mechanisms in this case to return some of that excess to customers. So I think it's a good process and results in fairness for all sides, the company and the ratepayers, and I'm pleased to see that NSP is doing well in our state and also returning some of those proceeds to the customers who are helping them have a stable company.
Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next on the agenda for me, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and assess a filing fee of $10,000 in Bakken Link Pipeline, LLC, Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, Cancellation Application, case number PU-18-217.
Second.
And the history on this, on June 26th, 2018, Bakken Link Pipeline filed an application to cancel Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5834 for the construction and operation of its common carrier, which is a crude petroleum pipeline in Billings, Stark, and McKenzie counties of North Dakota. On July 6th, 2018, Bakken Link filed an application to replace and substitute for the June 26th, 2018 filing asking to cancel or otherwise abandon the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number, again, 5834. The certificate itself was granted by the Commission back in September, on September 17th of 2014. For an existing and already constructed facility that had, well, let's see, this is a little different in the wording. They had already constructed 95 miles of the Bakken Link project, the south 95-mile section. And then there was another section of the Bakken Link project subject to federal approvals required for construction, but that was the north segment, and that was, again, 37 miles that has not been constructed as of yet. So the issue in this proceeding is whether Bakken Link should be permitted to abandon its Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for the Bakken Link project. Those interested are invited to comment in writing on the application in case number PU-18-217. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by August 3rd, 2018, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, once again, the number here at the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400. And just a couple of quick notes on this. This is, you know, in terms of why would an ADP have been filed, and why would you ask for a cancellation on the advanced determination of prudence or the public convenience and necessity? And this is not a monopolistic type situation, is what the company is contending, and because of that, is this truly an instance where a PCNN is actually needed? So we'll go through that. I guess rather than stating my opinion on it at this point in time, PCNNs are as I was talking to staff, typically reserved for cases where you have a monopoly-type situation or could have a monopoly-type situation. This is a competitive situation where it isn't an isolated market that others don't have access to. So, hence, in terms of the PCNN, is it truly needed? And we've got it opened up, assuming this passes, for requests for hearing, and we will see where that takes us.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I was curious about this one when it first came across, and then did a little digging and was reminded of when we approved the PCNN, because it was fairly early on in the time when both Randy and I were here, and it was something somewhat unusual for the company at the time, but we went through the process and it seemed to make sense. And I know that a lot of things have changed with that pipeline since then, and including, I believe, they're converting this line to an NGL line or a portion of it, if I'm remembering the projects correctly. So I think that there's just a lot of different issues at play with this particular project, and I don't anticipate any big issues with eliminating the PCNN, but I guess we'll see.
I do think it is important to have the comment period where someone can request a hearing, though, in case someone has, you know, developed a business plan revolving around this pipeline being available as a utility that someone else could acquire space in. So we'll see once what we get in the coming week till October 3rd. Or August 3rd, not October 3rd.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, and finally for me, and as Commissioner Fedorchuk mentioned, these five really run the gamut of in terms of variety.
Yeah.
So I was actually quite curious over the weekend as I was studying up on these, and probably learned more than I, you know, is applicable in these cases. But my final one, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and assess a filing fee of $10,000 in Dakota Natural Gas, LLC, Natural Gas System, Drayton, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-18-224.
Second.
On July 28, 2018, Dakota Natural Gas, LLC, filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a natural gas system to serve the community of Drayton in North Dakota, as well as a large commercial customer outside of the city of Drayton to the north. And the issues to be considered in this matter are, is there a need for the service? Is DNG, Dakota Natural Gas, technically, financially, and managerial fit and able to provide the service? What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service? And the fourth is, is the proposed service adequate? Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by August 31st, 2018. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And once again, the number here for the Public Service Commission at the State Capitol is 701-328-2400. Several notes on this. Dakota Natural Gas is a subsidiary of Greater Minnesota Gas Incorporated, which is a natural gas distribution company based in Le Sueur, Minnesota. So this is a new, this will be a newly formed subsidiary. So it's going back to the issues to be considered. Number two, is DNG technically, financially, and managerial fit and able to provide the service? We'll have to make sure that the subsidiary is set up correctly in that respect. But this is a distribution pipeline that will be coming in from the North Dakota-Minnesota border over to the both the large commercial customer, which would be, there's an exhibit. That line is approximately, I think looking at it, approximately 3 miles. The end-use customer, approximately 3 miles or so north of Drayton. And then also the line would continue then a little further west, then south into the community of Drayton to serve a portion of that community as well. I was talking to staff, and throughout the entire application, the large commercial customer is referred to as simply the large commercial customer. Now, it's not difficult in looking at MapQuest to essentially be sure of who that large commercial customer is. But it is a substantial, if it's the one that I believe it is, it's a very large customer in the area, and they would greatly benefit regardless of who the exact customer is. They're going to benefit from an economic standpoint by replacing higher-priced fuel with lower-priced natural gas, and consumers within the city of Drayton residences, residential areas, will experience savings as well if they're, for example, on propane. Moving to natural gas, there's the cost of conversion, of course, but at the same time, natural gas prices are roughly half of what propane is running, so it's a significant savings for consumers, and that's really important. So both from a retail standpoint, retail customers, commercial customers, but also for residential customers, this is a significant savings, and that's important as more natural gas service is expanded into areas of North Dakota that don't currently have service available to them in terms of natural gas service. The one thing that I do realize is that when you're switching customers from propane, and the large commercial customer, I believe, if it's the one I'm thinking of, they are not on propane. They are on a different fuel source right now. I believe it would be coal. But we'll let them grind through that process in terms of working out the arrangement, and it could still very much be a competitive situation for them in terms of landing the contract. You are displacing what could very easily be a family-run business in the Drayton area that currently is providing propane and selling propane to these customers. Some of the customers in Drayton, residential customers, might be on electric heat right now. So it's not a given that they're on propane, but they're on another type of fuel source. They'll certainly benefit the customers, but again, there's always some degree of impact to whoever's providing the alternate fuel source, particularly if it's a local propane dealer, and I think it's fair to recognize that. One final note on this, this line coming across from Drayton, is that the company is requesting, it's called the Hinshaw exemption, which is local distribution pipelines served by interstate pipelines not be subject to federal commission jurisdiction. So this is something that essentially they're asking not to be regulated at the federal level, but to be regulated at the state level. And that goes back to the Hinshaw exemption, which would grant that. And then this, actually talking about just earlier some of the reading you start getting into, I had another plan Saturday night, and then pretty soon I was reading about the Natural Gas Act of 1938, and that's what this all dates back to, really, when you think about it, because at the time, natural gas was being produced from coal, but there wasn't any regulation in the local communities, so then they had local government step forward, started regulating gas service. Well, then as technology improved a little bit, they would run a pipeline from one community to the next. And so it might be 10, 15 miles away, whatever the distance was. But then they found that local governments weren't adequate for regulating multi-community situations like that. So then state regulatory bodies came into play, and then with interstate commerce that followed after that, then you had regulation at the federal level. So it evolved, and then that ties back to the Hinshaw exemption. But that's what you do for excitement, I guess, when you're on the commission. I thought it was fascinating. So
sure Kim did, too.
Well, it did interfere just a little bit with that. Yeah.
And we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, I'm excited to see this. This is something that the commission has looked at. I've been working on the whole issue of natural gas to underserved and unserved areas for a number of years. So each time that another community can get hooked up, I think it's positive for that community. Long-term economic development experts say that having natural gas is a significant distinguishing factor for communities that have viable long-term opportunities for industrial growth and those that don't. And so I think that this is a positive for Drayton and that community, and it's happening in a way that I think the legislature and all who have looked at this from a policy manner can support, because it just the economics of the project were driven by one big customer that made the pipeline possible, followed by a community that was embracing this as well. And it was the market forces, and there was no outside intervention at all. So I think this is how policymakers envisioned it happening. It's great to see it happening, and That Viking line through Minnesota is pretty valuable for eastern North Dakota, and I think we've seen now two projects in the last couple of years tapping into that line, and maybe there'll be additional projects in the future. I know Hillsboro and Mayville have really been clamoring for natural gas for a number of years, and they also have looked at that Viking line. Hasn't worked out economically for them yet, but who knows what the future will hold, and we're just excited to see this one and look forward to going through this process of the PCNN and seeing if there's any folks that come forward with concerns about that.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my list.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Very good. Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Elite Clean Energy Incorporated 100 megawatt Clean Energy Number 1 wind project, Mercer & Morton siting application case number PU-11-662.
Second.
On June 13th of 2018, ACE, which is the shortened acronym for Elite Clean Energy Incorporated, filed a request to amend the Commission's August 29th, 2012 order to remove language that appears to require notice and opportunity for hearing prior to approving project modifications. The issue to be determined is whether the Commission's August 29th, 2012 order should be amended. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by August 20th of 2018. This is an issue where the company just wants to be proactive, eliminating some language that was included in order. In my opinion, that language is somewhat overruled now by law that the legislature approved, allowing companies to make modifications within their site. But a number of companies are operating under orders that require a notice opportunity for hearing prior to making additions. So just to be extra safe and cautious, the company wants to amend that in preparation for a time in the future where they may want to make some changes, I'm assuming. So that's what this is all about.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Langdon Wind LLC, Langdon Wind Energy Center Upgrade Project, Siting Exclusion Certificate, case number PU-18-186.
Second.
Somewhat similar, a little bit different. On May 25th, 2018, in case number PU-18-186, Langdon Wind filed a certification to improve the Langdon Wind Energy Center by extending the life of Langdon Wind's older turbines. Langdon Wind plans to install new gearboxes and larger rotors that will increase the generating capacity of Langdon Wind's LWEC, so Langdon Wind Energy Center, from 159 megawatts to 171.72. So basically, this issue to be determined is whether to amend the Commission's May 31st, 2007 order to recognize the additional generating capacity. That order that was approved in 2007 cited it at 159. Then this upgrade to the facility allows them to generate at up to 172 almost megawatts. They don't, according to their plans and their certification, they don't intend to operate it at 172. They intend to keep it at 159 per an interconnection agreement. But the fact is, with the new rotors, they could generate additional. So the company, in their application to us, said that this retrofit will extend the life of this project by 10 or more years. It has minimal surface impacts because all the locations remain the same. They're just changing the rotors. They also provided documentation that the rotor height will be the same. The diameter will increase from 77 to 91 meters. All The turbines remain 1,400 feet from occupied residences. The sound and the flicker are anticipated to be within the limits established by the commission. There are no new impacts on cultural resources, and that's been certified by the SHPO. All the local land use permits are in hand. So the company provided a number of all the information necessary to review this, including certifying that they won't be affecting any known exclusion or avoidance areas. So I believe that they're moving forward with making these upgrades, and we'll move forward with this notice of opportunity for hearing to see if anybody from the public has any issues and deal with it from there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I don't think there's any question that repowering will continue to be continue to occur as facilities age out. I think in some ways the thought when I talked to people early on was that once they were at the end of their useful life, they being a wind facility, that they would simply be dismantled and taken down. And of course, we've covered that as of late with decommissioning plans that are coming into the commission. But repowering is the next phase of wind development in North Dakota. And if we've learned one thing in terms of not only this type of energy production, but all types of energy production, there is no status quo. Technology continues to advance, and whether it's wind, whether it's oil extraction in the Bakken, companies continue to innovate, both companies that own the facilities and companies that produce products to help enhance and improve facilities. So, again, there's no status quo when it comes to energy generation, and efficiency, of course, is the name of the game, because if you're not becoming more efficient, your competitor is. So industry is constantly being driven on not only the want but need to improve and maximize return on investment.
One more comment on this, because we're going to, I do think it's important for the public to note that these types of repowering will, of existing facilities that already have a siting certificate. The legislature looked at this issue on energy conversion facilities in the last session or the session prior to that, and determined that these types of upgrades to existing siting is places that have already received a siting certificate, and you're putting similar facilities inside that same site, can do so without a new siting process. And so these types of upgrades will not trigger a new site.
I just want to add one thing. I don't know if it's a really a disagreement with a previous statement or just phraseology, but in either of these cases, I like the way these two are being brought to us, provide an opportunity for comment, and then presumably I would think a good chance we will amend those certificates or whatever the right procedure is to do what's being proposed here. But in the previous case, I can't remember what word you used, if you said the new legislation that was passed overrides or supersedes or something on that order. And I don't really, for me, that's not really quite the case. I do think this is the proper way to come in and have an opportunity for hearing and then make a move on them individually or maybe even in a group at some point. But with a process like this, because to me, the orders that were issued before the legislation became effective are not overridden or superseded by that legislation necessarily. And in this case, I think some of the companies would probably like that for that to be the case, because clearly that's the will of the legislature, that not have to go through a procedure. But and so they just want to be able to be more nimble and not go through this. However, in their best interest too, it could go the other way. And then I think it would be a different tune. Oh, no, the new law does not override the previous order. Imagine, I think in the last session, the legislature passed on wind farms, but something like this could occur on pipelines or power lines or things too. But they passed one more provision, a setback from property lines, I believe it was. Well, what if there's an old order out there where the commission allowed a turbine to be placed closer than that to someone else's property line? Certainly when the legislature passed that, they would, I'm sure, argue vehemently that the new law does not supersede our order allowing that, and now they have to tear it down. And so I think those old orders have some value and need to be dealt with in these cases. And if new legislation supersedes that, it could be very dangerous to the holders of certificates every time the legislature meets, because newer, stricter standards, in this case, the legislature adopted less restrictive standards, but in the future, it could be more restrictive, and it could throw a whole project certificate out. So I think it's something to proceed with cautiously. I like the way these two projects are handling this.
I think we do disagree. I think that we should be finding a administrative process that doesn't require the notice of opportunity for hearing, because it's not something that the legislature anticipated us doing, creating that extra burden for the companies to go through in order to eliminate what was stated in previous orders. But that said, this is the way we're proceeding here, and we'll see what happens in future ones.
I may not even disagree with the administrative process. I'm just saying that there needs to be a process. A new law created can't just completely eliminate everything that was approved in previous certificates, I don't think, or all these projects are threatened every time the legislature comes into town.
In that same example, if you had a project that was cited under the previous rules, like for a closer impact to a house, and then the legislature extended it, say it wasn't constructed, I would expect that most people would believe that that should not be allowed to be constructed after new setbacks were established, but up under the new ones. So I think it can, you know, work both ways there.
It certainly can.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, a couple of announcements. Starting on Wednesday, but this would be for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 a.m. each day in this room, we have case number PU-17-398, Otter Tail Power Company's 2017 electric rate increase. There has been a settlement proposed in that. So based on a previous settlement we did, I'm expecting that this may take less than three full days. And so I don't know that we'll necessarily be conducting that hearing on Thursday and Friday, but it remains on the schedule, I guess. And so certainly on Wednesday at 9 a.m., that will be the case. And then I just want to point out our next regular scheduled meeting is actually on a Wednesday, which is kind of nice to be back to that. However, it's a little off because of NARUC and some other scheduling conflicts. There's actually a three-week separation here. And because of the Otter Tail Power hearing and then NDATC meeting tomorrow, this one was moved ahead 2 days, so it actually ends up being 3 weeks and 2 days, probably the longest interval between regular commission meetings in the time that I have been here. So the next meeting, Wednesday, August 1st, 10 a.m. That concludes the announcements. We will stand in recess, take some questions from the press, followed by a little break, and then we'll return for the administrative portion of our meeting. So we are in recess.
please clarify what the status is of the complaint on Meridian and what the next step is?
I can do that. Okay. So they filed the complaint last week or the end of the week before, and there is a 20-day response period that the other party has, and after to file an answer and outline what it disputes. And then after that, we would work through the information at hand and make determinations. But, you know, the most immediate step now is waiting to see what kind of an answer is filed. And that could take any number of forms. They could ask us to dismiss it entirely. They could ask for more time to respond. There's any number of things, but that would be the next step.
And determining that it's a prima facie case, to me at least, essentially means it deals with something where we have jurisdiction potentially. That doesn't mean that this particular case falls under our jurisdiction. In the case of a refinery, there's a threshold when it does and when it doesn't. But I guess the example that I used in my own mind when I looked at the order was if someone brought a complaint to us that they went to the emergency room and the hospital didn't have the right staff, and so they're bringing a complaint, in my mind, there would not be a prima facie case because whether they do or not does not fall under our jurisdiction. If someone is able to make a case that a refinery that meets the threshold, it would then be under our jurisdiction, and so it's a prima facie case in that it deals with something that would fall under our jurisdiction if they can show that the other requirements are met.
To clarify about Northern States Power or Xcel's earnings sharing thing, what would be the potential time frame to get through the
We'll have to get through the request for hearing, which is August 3rd, and then once we get beyond that, then in my opinion, as quickly as we can move on it to get money back to refund money back to consumers if that materializes, which I anticipate it will. So I 2 months, Jerry, or beyond, is it August 20th? Okay.
So it could be by end of summer they could see something.
Well, right. No, because if they have 90 days, don't they have 90 days to get it out after that, after we make a decision? I thought that's what they stated in their materials. 90 days to return it to customers from when we make a decision.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I could be wrong.
Maybe let's just go with potentially to your question. Yes, by the end of the summer, we could have a decision made on it, and then whatever the timing follows, but I don't believe the company would. I think they'd want to move quickly on getting those back out too and getting them processed, refunded to customers.
In terms of that natural gas pipeline to Drayton, it'll have to cross the Red River at some point?
It will.
And is there a potential problem there? Or do they have to get some extra permits?
You know, it's a good question. It clearly on the map shows that it goes underneath, crosses the Red River, so they would have to bore underneath that to install the line and meet the requirements in that sense. I would have to get what the specifics are, but yes, it does cross the Red River as it heads west out of Minnesota.
And it is the Viking Pipeline?
Yeah, it's again, you know, we've talked about this in other cases. It's you know, if you put yourself in the shoes of the people that actually live in the community of Drayton or the large commercial customer, it's either way, it's exciting because they're both going to potentially experience significant savings. Based on pricing today for energy types, the savings will be significant. And, well, I would just love to talk about the large commercial customer and really the positive ripple effect of that, but there is a positive ripple effect beyond the community of Drayton, beyond just the customer itself, but in the Red River Valley overall for things that occur there.
I did double check. It is, they said in their order or in their filing that they would initiate implementation of the $3.6 million refund within 90 days of the commission's order, but hopefully they'll do it sooner than that.
The 3.6 actually is the collective order.
Right.
That's not, that goes beyond, that's also the DOE nuclear energy credit.
That's everything.
That's everything. We separated this out. This is on the June 27th, was that the right date, agenda? Because we had already issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on the other components, which would be the DOE settlement. I've got the list here somewhere. But the 3.6, the number that Commissioner Fedorchuk's referring to, that includes the other components as well.
Oh, I didn't catch that. So we're doing these all separately? Or how
we're doing the 2000.
We have to notice this separately.
Oh, okay.
Because the others were noticed. And
but the refund would all be
refund
together.
Will be combined. That's my understanding.
Okay.
If you combine the refund, do you have a figure?
I
yeah,
do.
That's the 3.6.
The 3.6 or $16. And
78 cents.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, $16.78. And that would be the 2017 over earnings, just shy of the $3 million, that 2.983 figure I gave, the U.S. Department of Energy nuclear waste settlement refund, and then gain on an asset sale refund that goes back to the biomass agreements that we've been working on. And then there's also a reliability award recovery amount, a smaller amount that they would be eligible for, they are eligible for based on performance, meeting certain performance standards or potentially eligible for. We'll have to get to the end of that process as well and make a determination. So a lot of moving parts. You know, what happened with this, if we hadn't separated it out in terms of a notice of opportunity for hearing, then we've in effect issued two notice of opportunities for hearing on some of the components that we had already issued notice for. So then it gets into, well, what's the deadline? Well, is it then a new deadline? But it's just better not to do it twice.
Anything else? We will reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting at 11 o'clock.